Welcome to Sports from the Couch.
I gotta say, it's the stupidest thing in sports.
With your host, Mike Mercado.
Players cannot stand them. Coaches cannot stand them. Most importantly, the fans can't stand them.
Brought to you by Mercado Airways.
I'm gonna say it once, and hopefully I'm wrong, but it's a disaster waiting to happen.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
Welcome in, friends, to another edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I want to thank you so much for making us a part of your day. It is Monday, August 3rd, 2020, in the beautiful city of Chicago, and I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful weekend. Some quick housekeeping notes. Make sure you're following us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the show, be interactive with us during all the major games at Couch Sports Talk. Please like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast. It really helps out the network. We really appreciate it. Let us know your thoughts on the comment section wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. Show off your love for the network by wearing some of our swag at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. We have a bunch of cool logos and designs up there for you to check out. That's teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. And of course, become a producer of the network at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. There you can also see how you get interviews ad-free and before anybody else with athletes and celebrities. That's patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. First thing I want to get into on this Monday to kick off this week is baseball, obviously having the big issues with COVID-19. We're seeing Joey Votto has been put on the IL. We've seen Chris Bryant has been out with the protocol because he has some gastro issues. We'll get into all that in quick notes. But I really wanted to get into the nitty-gritty of it because we still don't really know what's going on with COVID beyond the points of who has been quarantined, who's been affected, which teams seem to be going through their own outbreak, and everything is up in the air right now. And I have my own personal opinions of where I think the season's going to go, and we'll get through all these things and through these moments and through these stories piece by piece. But from a sports angle, the one thing that I've been really interested in is what does it mean when you see the records and the stats for the season? And I don't even mean in a historical way. Because people are going to argue and debate that all day long, and it's going to be one of those sports radio things that, well, if he got these many wins in a 60-game season, what would it mean in 162? When is a batting average mean this? And it's all nonsense. It's good fodder for conversation. But what I want to know is, if you see what the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox did this past weekend, both teams sweeping division rivals, both teams over 500. You have the Cubs at 7-2. And a big drop-off in the rest of the division early on in the season. And if you're a White Sox fan, at 5-4, two games back of the Twins. And a really quick look at the standings before we move forward with this conversation. In the American League, in the East, you have the Yankees at 7-1, Baltimore at 5-3, the Blue Jays at 3-4, the Rays at 4-6, and the Red Sox at 3-7. In the AL West, you have the Astros at 5-4, along with the Athletics at 5-4, the Mariners at 4-6, the Rangers at 3-5, and the Angels at 3-7. And in the AL Central, it is the Twins at 7-2, the White Sox at 5-4, Cleveland at 5-5, the Tigers at 5-5, and the Kansas City Royals at 3-7. In the National League, in the NL East, you have the Braves at 7-3, the Marlins at 2-1. Going to be interesting to see how this all plays off with the Marlins, how this plays for the Cardinals. The Brewers and Cardinals were postponed throughout the weekend. The Nationals at 3-4, the Phillies at 1-2, another team that's obviously been out because of this COVID situation. We'll see if they're able to make up any of these games, how Major League Baseball plans to take care of that. And the Mets at 3-7, another crazy story with the Mets over this past Sunday. Baseball has been insane. In the NL West, you have the Rockies at 6-2, the Dodgers at 7-3, the Padres at 6-4, the Giants at 5-5, and the Diamondbacks at 3-7. In the National League Central Division, the Cubs at 7-2, the Brewers at 3-3, the Reds at 4-5, the Cardinals at 2-3, and the Pirates at 2-7. A lot of things you notice in this standings, especially in the National League, there's a lot of teams that haven't played a lot of games. I'm fascinated to see what Major League Baseball, what Rob Manfred decide to do moving forward. On the last episode of Sports from the Couch, we talked about how Rob Manfred basically put Major League Baseball Players Association on notice that they have to get this under control. Okay, let's say the players do that. Is the league in a position to make sure everything plays out the way it's supposed to, that teams are able to get their games in and making competitive, even though half the league is making the playoffs? Do the Marlins at 2-1 have a real legitimate shot at making a run at it? I doubt it. Most of us do. But if we're going to keep it on the up and up and you're putting people in danger, then you have to make it worth it for these guys. And you got to be able to make sure that they get their games in and have opportunity. We circle back to my original question. What does it mean? The records, the standings, the way we look at Major League Baseball this season compared to last season and seasons moving forward. I'm going to be joining Paul Shavari from Baseball Weekend Journal to talk about the season and the start of it and what it all means. But I was explaining to him at the radio station, you have to take this all with a grain of salt, obviously, because it's a short start. It's an early start. It's a short season. This is the equivalent of just the first 2 weeks of the regular MLB season in April. The difference is these players know that it's not that. That there is more pressure, that there is more at stake, that each game matters just a little bit more, even though so many teams make the playoffs. Guys are still playing for contracts. There is this looming black cloud that is a strike in 2022. I think what you're seeing now is what a lot of real teams are, minus injury. And that has been the conversation all along about this season, has been injury and wellness because of this illness. So if you're looking at the Cubs, or you're looking at a lot of these teams like Pittsburgh, the bullpen use was so huge, and there's a lot of injuries in bullpens. Arms are going to fall off. So it's the team that's able to stay healthy is going to be able to make the run. But these owners are still going to be paying players through it. So guys still got to be able to step up. That's why it means more, because you don't have as many at-bats. So we could sit here and say, it's like, yeah, well, a team could get hot here and a team could get, obviously. But it means more because it is shortened. A team can go and have a bad weekend. And normally we shrug it off and be like, yeah, that happens. It's a long season. And while, mind you, 60 games is not the shortest of seasons, you need a quicker bounce back. You can't have your bullpen struggling for so long, because guess what? Not only is the looming factor of a shortened season, the looming factor of you're probably going to get injured at some point. You always have in the back of your mind, COVID-19. What if not only do we go through a slide, now we get the illness? You got to win early. You got to win a lot. You got to stack wins. And I think that's what a lot of the top teams like the Yankees in their division have done, like the Cubs have done in the Central, even the Braves in the NL East. You have to be able to put a lot of wins together, because you're not guaranteed all 60. It's all about getting to the playoffs and giving yourself the best position in the playoffs. And I think it's playing out what a lot of us thought was going to happen to, specifically in the city of Chicago. You have a veteran team that has to answer some questions of their own in the Chicago Cubs. And you have a young up-and-coming team that has to answer some questions of their own in the South Side. You have superstars on both sides. You have great pitching on both sides. You have questions on both sides when it comes to bullpen and little X factors. But one thing that cannot be denied, specifically in this city, is the talent. And if everything goes right, these are two playoff teams, obviously, with the amount of teams that are going in there, but two legitimate playoff teams. But let me know your thoughts. And also, be on the lookout. I will be joining Paul Shavari from Baseball Weekend Journal later on in the week to talk about all this and so much more in Major League Baseball. Let us know your thoughts. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram at Mike Mercado Media, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Next on the docket, the Chicago Blackhawks came out of nowhere and beat the Edmonton Oilers 6-4 in the first game of the best of five in the qualifier for the Stanley Cup playoffs. You had Kublik with two goals, Jonathan Toews with two goals, Brandon Saad with a goal, and Strome with a goal. And a very impressive game. They looked fast. They looked like the better team than Edmonton. This is a 12-5 matchup. So, you know, I'm not going to BS you and go into the nitty-gritty of the details of everything that happened into the rink and the awesome defensive matchups and the way the line shift changes, you know, impacted the game and timeouts and everything. Look, I'm not that type of expert. I'm not going to BS you here on Sports from the Couch. I have other shows to BS you my opinions. I want to get into what it means right now for the Blackhawks, up 1-0 in a best of five, with the opportunity to either get into the true playoffs, the final 16, or to have the potential of the number one draft pick with, I think, a 12% chance, 12 to 14% chance of a number one draft pick in the draft if they lose this series. In my opinion, and this is such a novice opinion when it comes to the National Hockey League, but I always feel it's the one sport where legitimately any seed can win a Stanley Cup, can go the entire way from an 8th seed and win the entire damn thing. We've seen it before. My thing is, at some point, dynasties end, and we've seen it here in Chicago. This dynasty came to an end. Super impressive, one of the most fun times I've ever had as a sports fan, then the transition into a podcaster, a radio host, you know, talking about sports. It was some of the most fun I had covering a team. That 2010, 13, and 15 team and everything in between. I love that 2009 team so much that lost to Detroit in the conference finals. But you kind of need new blood. And I know saying that after they just, you know, scored 6 goals in a game, it's crazy. And Patrick Kane was firing on all cylinders before the season stopped. But we all know at some point the dynasty will truly come to an end. They've missed the playoffs before. Guys are going to get old. We've already seen Marian Hossa's gone. Patrick Sharp's gone. Like, things have happened. And it'd be wonderful to get a young stud on this team early enough when there's still superstars on your team. And when it's time for him to sign any type of an extension, any type of contract, if it works out, you won't be in the books for a lot of these different guys anymore. And it leads you into a new generation. But that's assuming you get the number one pick. That's assuming that the NHL doesn't have it rigged and they would get the number one pick. But I do know what you can control. You can control the games you're playing now. Can the Blackhawks win a Stanley Cup? Sure. Will they? Probably not. But it's just as likely. Can they get the number one draft pick? Sure. Will they? Probably not. So what would you enjoy more? What do you feel is more important? I think, honestly, more than anything is having this team just continuously be in the playoffs, making it a drawing place, and being good to the universe, for lack of a better term, for lack of great analysis opinion, for doing it the quote-unquote right way, you might get it back in another way. So maybe you don't get the number one draft pick, but you get this experience. You sign a couple guys here and there. All of a sudden, you're right back at where you're at, and then you get another draft pick here. Maybe not the number one pick, but somewhere in the middle. And it to me, you have to play for the cards that you have dealt with right now. And if you're up 1-0 and if you win game 2, then you have to go for it. You have no choice. It doesn't matter if you get swept in the true playoffs. But we'll find out exactly who this Blackhawks team is, how they respond. I would love for them to get a number one draft pick again. I would also love for them to make a deep run. It'd be fun. Puck drops at 9:30 p.m. tonight on NBC Sports Network and NBC Sports Chicago. But before they hit the ice, let me know, what do you think? Do you want to see the Chicago Blackhawks in the lottery draft trying to get the number one draft pick? Or do you want to see them try to make a run at the Stanley Cup, even though they might be a lower seed and chances are they won't make it deep into the playoffs? Do they win this series? Is it just a one-game win and then they get beat out the next three? Let me know your thoughts. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram, Mike Mercado Media, and the show is on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Last thing before we get to quick hits. So the NBA bubble is going on right now in Florida, and we've seen a lot of the superstars make their appearance. We've seen a lot of good games, and it got me thinking about what I want to see from the Chicago Bulls here locally. And I was talking about this with friend of the show, Brian, who works at the radio station over at Outreach Radio Chicago. And I mentioned to him, what you see in the bubble is the difference between good players, great players, and superstars. And the NBA, and I think in sports in general, and if you want to, you could correlate this to everyday life when it comes to talent and skill with certain things. The NBA, it's so blatant when you see superstars compared to all-stars and good players. And the Bulls have a lot of good players, maybe even some all-stars. But do they have a superstar there? I don't think so. And if you're talking about superstars, this is how big of a jump it is. And then even within that conversation, there's levels to it. There's tiers to this game. I believe Anthony Davis should be the target for the Chicago Bulls. I don't know if they're going to have the flexibility to do that kind of move, but that is the guy I think you should go after. The dream player, though, is Giannis. And within Giannis and Anthony Davis, I can have a whole conversation to you about why Giannis is so much more valuable as a basketball player Not that he's smarter or he's going to win more rings or anything. No, they're both great. They're literally top tier. But what Giannis can do is so much more valuable than what AD can do on their levels. But for the Bulls, either one of them is literally like getting three wishes from a magic genie. I like Zach LaVine. We've learned Lauri Markkanen is going to be a nice player, but he's not like Luka Doncic, who took the league by storm, who demanded the respect. Trae Young, Ja Morant, Zion, Devin Booker. We see these guys. Here in Chicago, Derrick Rose. You look at somebody like Kobe White, he's taking it. He's telling people, I'm going to be here. I like Kobe White. I like Wendell Carter if you can stay healthy. They need a superstar. And it's obviously easier said than done. And this whole, again, another black cloud is the Jim Boylan coaching decision that's still lingering. And one thing that's not being brought up is the reason you don't fire him is because once he's fired and you bring in your coach, not only paying two coaches, you bring in another coach, you're not on the clock too as a front office. So Karnišević and Eversley, I think they're going to be good in that those positions. I trust them. I think they have their fingers on the pulse. It would have been valuable to have this Bulls team in some type of bubble as well to be able to recruit. And you have to get a superstar in here. And if you can't do it, then you have to play the system the right way. And in the NBA, that means you have to tank properly. And you have to get a number one draft pick. And I know that goes against a lot of what this organization has done before, but that is how it's done in this league in this particular time. I like a lot of pieces that they have. But the one thing we see in this bubble is superstars win championships. And the Bulls have a lot of good players, maybe all-stars, but they don't have a superstar yet. I would love to see one of them develop into it. Some of them have the shining moments of one. But in the NBA, superstars help win championships for organizations. Let's get to the quick notes. We start with the New York Mets. Yoenis Cespedes has opted out of the 2020 season after he did not report to Truist Park for Sunday's game against the Atlanta Braves, according to Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen. Van Wagenen addressed Cespedes' decision with reporters after the Mets' 4-0 loss. The GM said Cespedes was doing so over, quote, COVID-related issues, and that the team had not previously known of the possibility that he would opt out. Quote, we support everybody and every player's right to make this type of decision. This is a challenging time for everyone, the GM said. It was surprising without question. At the same point, we have to go forward and not allow anything to keep us from going forward. Van Wagenen said he learned of Cespedes' decision from his agent during Sunday's game. When the team sent security to Cespedes' hotel, he was not there and his belongings were gone, Van Wagenen said. Earlier Sunday, the Mets had released a statement in which the GM said they cannot reach Cespedes. Quote, he did not reach out to management with any explanation for his absence. Van Wagenen said, our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful. After the game, Van Wagenen said he was glad Cespedes is okay. Quote, because there's a period of time where we weren't sure. Quote, he also called Sunday's development a disappointing end to Cespedes' 4-year contract with the Mets. Cespedes is set to be an unrestricted free agent after the season. The St. Louis Cardinals have multiple new test results for coronavirus within the organization as a result of Saturday's testing, sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan on Sunday. Sunday's testing is being fast-tracked with results expected later in the night. On Saturday, the team had one player and three staff members test positive, while four members of the organization had inconclusive results, the team president said during a video conference with reporters. The inconclusive tests came from one player and three staff members. The Cardinals have been isolated from each other since arriving in Milwaukee for a 3-game weekend series, and all three games have been postponed. The Cardinals' upcoming 4-game series against Detroit was scheduled to be a home-and-home, but instead, the Cardinals and Tigers will play all four games in Detroit with a doubleheader scheduled for Wednesday. For the second day in a row, the Miami Marlins had no positive tests among their players and staff still in Philadelphia, a source confirmed to ESPN. The news was first reported by the Miami Herald. The Marlins have played since July 26 in Philadelphia because of an outbreak within their traveling party. Infected Marlins players and staff left Philadelphia in sleeper buses Friday for Miami to quarantine there. The rest of the team remained in isolation at a hotel in Philadelphia. The Marlins are supposed to resume play against the Orioles in Baltimore this Tuesday. The Cincinnati Reds placed veteran first baseman Joey Votto on the injured list Sunday before the opener of their doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers. The Cincinnati Inquirer reported that Votto self-reported coronavirus symptoms Sunday, but has not tested positive for COVID-19. The Reds did not disclose a reason for the move, but specifically announced that Votto is on the IL, not the 10-day IL. There is no minimum or maximum number of days that Votto must remain on the IL. And sticking on that same train of COVID, Chris Bryant was stretched from Saturday's lineup because of gastrointestinal issues, according to a Cubs spokesman. Cubs manager David Ross says, quote, all indications are that Chris Bryant had a, quote, bad stomach bug tonight. Quote, got to run through standard protocols, just making sure with everything we got going on that he's feeling all right. We'll get him tested just as a precaution tomorrow morning. David Ross commends Chris Bryant for self-reporting symptoms and says his COVID tests have come back negative. Bryant, however, will not be available to play as the Cubs try to follow the MLB protocols. Bryant's regularly scheduled test from Friday came back negative, as did his rapid test on Saturday. The former NL MVP had another regularly scheduled test Sunday and will get one more rapid test on Monday. The earliest Bryant would be able to return will be likely Tuesday's game versus the Royals. This is coming off of the Cubs being commended as one of the better teams following protocols in Major League Baseball. And after all these stories on quick notes about COVID-19, the most important thing I think we could take from Joey Votto and Chris Bryant, the only way we're going to get through this season is if players like these two men who are leaders in the league step up and report any type of symptoms. Finally, Zion Williamson says it has been hard to watch from the sideline as the New Orleans Pelicans lost their first two games in the NBA bubble while his minutes have been limited. Quote, it's been very tough to be honest, because as soon as I start to break that sweat, I look over and that horn is for me and I have to come out of the game, Williamson said Sunday. Quote, also, when I do catch the flow of the game, like I said, the horn goes off and it's it for me. Is he going to play or is he not going to play? They made this whole bubble for the NBA and for television for Zion to be on TV and they're playing him in 3-minute spurts. Leave it to the Pelicans for that. And that was Quick Notes here on Sports from the Couch on Mercado Airwaves. That'll do it for us on this edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I want to thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Don't forget, I will be joining Paul Shavari from Baseball Weekend Journal in the middle of the week to talk all things Major League Baseball. So keep an eye on that. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at Mike and Media. I'm on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can keep up with the show and we're watching throughout the day at Couch Sports Talk. And follow the network. See what we're doing outside of Sports from the Couch at Mercado Airwaves. Like, review, and share us anywhere you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. Become a producer of the network and get our interviews ad-free before anybody else with athletes and celebrities at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And of course, you could support us by showing off your love for the network with some swag at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. Enjoy the games. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. We will see you next time here on Sports from the Couch on Mercado Airwaves. I'm Mike Mercado. Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy.
You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.